So What Do You Think? The podcast where we chat about the Bible from Genesis to Revelation with friends, family, and loved ones. We laugh.
It's the labor where they wash up. Then when you
wash
up. I'm from Missouri, so y'all leave me alone.
She's from Missouri.
She really means wash.
I'm learning more and more how little I know.
Day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing. I can't do this.
We do impressions.
Hello. Hi, Bob the Tomato.
Hi, this is Chang's Chinese Restaurant.
We get a little silly.
Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
I feel I have a hard time with
Not condiments. She loves ketchup and mayonnaise.
So, in Genesis.
Genesis. That's our southern accent coming in there, folk.
I'm just a little black angel.
A little serious.
My spirit, Bubba, what if I give you what you deserve?
And a lot grateful.
When you feel that, you know, where is God? Well, that's him.
That's him showing his love.
Yes, he's got all these people loving on you.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
as we ask and answer questions about the Bible, faith, God, and everything in between. Welcome to So What Do You Think? Take a load off, get comfy, and stay a while.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. My name's Missy, and I'm here with my brother Robert and his sweet, sweet wife, Lori. Hey guys.
Don't forget beautiful and smart, too.
Beautiful and smart and sweet.
Okay.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So we are just going to go with some questions I have. And if y'all, anything hits your heart, you just jump in. So I'm a very visual person. And when I read about Jesus in the Bible, I can visualize and see him doing the things he does, like when he heals somebody or like when that lady touched his garment and she was healed. I can visualize all of that, you know.
Right.
And so when it comes to the Spirit, it's Holy Spirit, he's more invisible, so to speak. I can't visualize that like I can when I'm reading about Jesus. But I was listening to David Wilkerson today, and he said the Holy Spirit is to us what Jesus was to the disciples. And that helps me visualize what the Holy Spirit is like. Is this a true statement? And talk about it a little bit.
Right. Well, what do you think he meant by that?
I think he meant that everything that Jesus did with the disciples, he's doing with us. The Holy Spirit's doing with us, like teaching, correcting, loving, spending time, having a relationship, all of those things, comforting.
Well, Missy, do you ever meet somebody and you probably just know you've never met them before, but you just meet somebody and all of a sudden you just feel like an instant connection, like an instant drawing to that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe that he draws us through, you know, this, the Holy Spirit in each of us that are pulling each other towards each other as well.
I think the Holy Spirit's correcting me. It's always correcting. I definitely know he's correcting me, because if there's some, say, a show on and they're starting to get into a sexual thing I don't want to see, it bothers me. And I know that's not me. I don't want to watch it. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you uncomfortable.
It's like our conscience.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Paul teaches pretty clearly that the Holy Spirit's role before we come to Christ is to tutor us and to guide us and to bring us to Christ. And then his role after that is to teach us and grow us, you know, to guide us, to warn us. His job is to be God in us. When we're redeemed and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, he lives in us and through us. So that's his role, is to be the God living in us and through us. So there you go.
Did you ever watch the Tim Allen show, Tim the Tool Man?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see his neighbor?
Yes.
The one that you never saw his whole face?
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now with you, Robert.
Wait,
I can see half your face.
Which half? Because then I'll cover
the left half.
Because he keeps moving.
Yeah.
I get half of both of y'all's faces.
There we go.
Oh, I like it.
All right. You ready for the next one? Do you have any more on that?
Is that satisfactory?
Yeah. I mean, I love that, what he said, because it helped me visualize it. And no, he's just as much part of me as Jesus is. Mm-hmm. They're one and the same. And I mean, I know I'm always trying to get that and growing, and I do get it more. It's like I'm more connected sometimes than I am other times, I guess. I'm more aware of it or something. Y'all probably walk through life on a cloud with the Holy Spirit holding hands, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I never cussed for 2 minutes before we called you.
That's right.
And I spilled drink all over the computer.
So I hear some pastors saying you have to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay.
She's doing quotation marks, folks. Y'all can't see them, but we can.
Yes, that you have to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whereas I thought when you accepted Christ, you got the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What are they talking about? They said it's an Acts.
Who is they, first off?
They are people on Twitter and who I listen to on YouTube.
Okay,
stop
right there.
No, I learn a lot.
Yeah, by not doing what they say on Twitter?
I don't believe this. I'm just asking where they said it's in Acts. What are they talking about?
You'd be shocked at how many pastors teach this exact thing. So let's... if we're going to get into this, let's kind of get into it deeply. What are we really talking about when it comes to baptism?
I don't know what they're talking
based
about.
On your question,
I don't know. I mean, it's just like you got to say a special prayer and have the anointing on you. It's a special thing that people do, and if you don't do that, then you're missing out on the Holy Spirit.
Okay, you just
I was gonna say, let me interject something there. I was, because we were talking about this the other night about. So our son, Robbie, he is going to be 26 this month.
And he's going to be loved mentioning on this podcast.
Yeah. But so just after he turned, just before he turned six, there was one night and I was putting him to bed, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden he started crying and he started asking questions about salvation. And of course I went and got Robert because I knew that the moment, you know, was coming. And he accepted Christ. He prayed the Lord's Prayer right then and there. And it was a true, the sweetest time together.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Just talking about, you know, he knew about being a sinner, but now he was, you know, saved and sanctified in Christ. But the sweetest thing, oh my gosh, he looked up at us and he said, "Do we have to do that water thing?" And it was just the sweetest, most precious thing, because he was like, "Okay, this is all Jesus. This is all good. This is new. But I don't want to do that water thing." And we had to explain to him that that water thing was just a symbolism, that there's no doubt that at that moment, through those tears, that that child accepted Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was in him and on him. Because those are two different words, in and on,
mm-hmm.
completely descended on him and went into him that night.
Right.
Whether he did the water thing or not.
Well, I'm not specifically, that's great. I mean, awesome. I'm not specifically talking about the water thing. They are talking about to be anointed with the Holy Spirit or something, as if it's something special, different from what you get when you accept Christ. Have you heard people say this?
Many times. There's a lot of teachers that this is a main focus of their ministry, where they will tell you that until you receive the Holy Spirit separate from your salvation experience, then you're not, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to work through you. And it's just, there's nothing in Scripture that teaches that. Now, what they're talking about in Acts is where at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, once Christ ascended into heaven in a physical form, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit was then able to come and live inside of us as people. And it happened on this individual case. Basically, there's probably other times of Scripture, maybe it happened this way. But the disciples, the apostles, already knew Jesus. And now all of a sudden, they've got the power of the Holy Spirit living through them that wasn't there before. But it's a singular historical thing that happened. So that's what they're talking about. And then what they did is they interpret that and say, well, that's got to happen every time. Mm-hmm. And there's just not solid scriptural you know, standing for that. It doesn't make sense. Paul talks more along the lines of a growing, and as you learn more, you become more in touch with Christ living through us, with the Holy Spirit living in us. But that's kind of the end of the story.
Okay.
Okay. See you folks later.
Bye-bye. So, Lori, share with us how you learned to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Through life, through growing, through, when I first became a Christian, I had no idea, because I didn't come to know Christ until I was 24. But just through maturity and through different circumstances and through people around me, until I thought it basically became like my conscience, because I knew I felt different, but I didn't know really why I felt different except for what was actually happening inside. And, like I said, through studying scripture, and just through lots of prayer and conversation with Jesus, did he say that that's my spirit in you, leading you.
So. When you say consciousness, you mean some people would say it's just your gut feeling or your awareness, but you're saying that's actually the Holy Spirit guiding you.
Yes. Because there's like people that like we talked about at the very beginning, when you come close to somebody that you've never seen before, you never met, but you just have a comfortableness with them, a connection of some sort that you can't really explain away, because you don't know who this person is from anybody. I know you're my husband, but okay, I'll go to the other side. So you just have that connection. But that's the Holy Spirit. Just so think of Mary and Rachel when they, came together and they didn't know each other was pregnant, and all of a sudden she walked in and their womb, her late womb jumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the Holy Spirit.
Well, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? What does that mean?
Oh, that's on down the line. We'll talk about that.
What do you mean?
Well, I want to start back, and let's go back to the idea of baptism.
Okay.
And then we'll come to that, because I think until we settle the idea of what baptism actually means, then we're still going to be skating around and coming back. We'll keep coming back to it. So,
all right.
When the questions come up that you've got about baptism and about the baptism of the Holy Spirit versus the physical baptism, I think we need to understand that we see and teaching that's out there started with John the Baptist. I mean, good grief, he's called John the Baptist because he baptized with water, right? And what did he say? He said that I baptize with water, but somebody else is going to come. He's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. And I can't even, undo his sandals. He's going to be such a great person. Well, the idea of baptism actually is back in the Hebrew or the Jewish traditions. They would actually take a cloth, and this is the best way to explain baptism. And it was the idea that they would take a cloth in order to change the color. So they want to go from white to red. They would dunk it into the ink or the berries or whatever it was to change the color of it. And the idea of that was they would take the fabric, and it would change the fabric from the inside out. So when you think of baptism, that's how you think of it. It's when we accept Christ, we're changed from the inside out. So we're actually baptized by the Holy Spirit at that point. And then the next step is to, whenever you do it, just like Robert did, he did it, Robbie, he did it a year and a half after he accepted Christ. He was changed from the inside out the moment he accepted Christ, and he told everybody the day he went underwater and then came back out. And I liken baptism to Galatians 2:20, which is,
I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live,
but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, which is talking about the fact that I, as a human being, am turning myself over to the Lordship of Jesus. I'm dying to myself, which is out of the water. I'm dying to myself, which actually, I'm sorry, is in the water. And then when I come back out, that life is now Jesus's life, not mine. That's Galatians 2:20. That's the whole idea of Galatians 2:20 is that you live, but you die to yourself and then you live to him. That's what baptism is all about. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's so many religions. We grew up in a religion. You were actually, if I remember correctly, you were baptized in the Episcopal Church.
I was, but I got baptized later for my, for me.
Yes, I understand.
Whatever, yeah.
Same thing we did. I actually did too. Yeah, both of us did. When we
got sprinkled when we were young.
That's right. We got sprinkled and a little cross on our forehead, and they called that baptism.
Yeah.
There's a lot of religions, and there's, I won't name all of them, but since we grew up in the Episcopal Church, we know that is how they baptize. There's other religions that do that too. But it's a religion. It's not about redemption, and it's not about change, and it's not about salvation. It's about recognition with the church. That's all that is. So true baptism is about who we then recognize ourselves to be with, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit then living in us, and the Holy Spirit then living through us. So with that in mind, now we can move on to other subjects.
Well, you don't. Then what you're saying basically is this: a symbolism, like Lori said. And if you're a Christian and accepted Christ into your heart, you do not have to be baptized in water to go to heaven.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That's exactly right.
That's right.
And unfortunately, there's a lot. You know, some people teach that you have to pronounce that to make it known to everybody, and that your salvation is not complete until you're baptized. That is not true.
Well, let's take a step back, because that is not true. But if you take the idea of baptism, it is not about water. So if we take that a step further and say, okay, it's not about water, that's an outward symbol, then the true baptism is that you accept Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have just been baptized. So if you make that decision, the other decision sometimes is just about obedience to a church. Actually, when we did it, we wanted to be involved with a church that we had found so many people that we just absolutely fell in love with in a community that we wanted to be in. But their number one requirement is to be dunked. Hmm. We said, this has nothing to do with our salvation, but in order for us to be involved in this community that we want to be involved in, we're going to get dunked. And quite frankly, we're both glad we did it. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with anything. Our salvation had nothing to do with our eternal growth, nothing. But it did.
Paul getting circumcised.
What?
Say that out loud.
Kind of like Paul getting circumcised. He didn't want to do it. He just did it to fit in the community he was in.
And Paul said, I'm all things to all people. So if that's what it took for us to be where we thought God wanted us to be, that's what we did.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But the idea that that you're talking about with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, does come from the book of Acts. So there is precedent for it, but it's a belief system that really comes down to almost a control religious thing.
You know, yeah, I wish people would quit saying that, because I think it makes people feel like, well, wait, I thought I already had that, and you're making me feel like I don't. I have to do one more step. You know, it's really confusing to people. That's why I'm bringing it up.
It is confusing. It's confusing because there's people, and here's anybody that's listening, if you're confused, read the scriptures. Don't listen to us. Take us as a guide if you want. Take the other person as a guide if you want, but read the scriptures, because scripture will tell you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you in teaching you what it means. Because there's a lot of things you're going to hear that just aren't, they're not scriptural. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of angels is so ludicrous out there in society until you read scripture and understand that what an angel is. If you just listen to Twitter or whatever, whichever one of them you listen to, you'll think that, your next door neighbor is an angel who's got wings and he's now up on a cloud with a heart. And it's just not true. So we always say, go back to scripture, go back to reading what God has already put out there. You don't need anything else. You do need sometimes guidance. And this idea of being, I think the way to look at what we're talking about with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is it's a growth thing. At some point, you become more,
aware.
Aware. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. Yes. Beautiful and smart.
Right.
Become more aware
She rubbed her eyes at you.
Yeah, she does that a lot, actually.
Lots today.
But you can become more aware of the guiding of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like anything else. You know, a child, when they're born for the first year, needs the parent, absolutely, 100% to take care of. The second year, well, maybe a little bit less. And then when you get into age 2 to 3, well, they're telling you they don't want you at all. But the fact is you know, if you leave them to themselves, they'll be dead in no time. So as a child ages, think of Christianity the same way. You know, you're talking about visualizing it. Maturity from a new Christian is a baby that knows nothing. So if you get the entire Holy Spirit living inside of you and God says, I'm going to release myself through you, what do you think would happen? That, I mean, individuals wouldn't know what to do with that kind of power. So God teaches us over time. And some people see that at some point in your life is go, oh, well, you must now be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, when it was true all along that was, you know, that you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's mm-hmm. a growth period that you go through. It's a time where God teaches you and you can handle more. You know, if he gave you everything on day one, I don't know what people would do with it. I don't know what I would do with it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm an immature. You know, it's like giving a kid a gun, a 1-year-old a gun, and saying, here, handle this. Or tell you what, go ahead and drive. Here's the car keys.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you asked me earlier about when did I know. It just kind of happens. It just kind of goes. You know, something else happens every single day. It's like a sanctification process. You know, each and every day something else arises that I'm like, oh, okay, maybe that's it. You know, it's not an instantaneous thing by any means.
Right. Right. Well, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's probably the same way you could think of it as how would you upset your mother? Mm. What could you do?
Driving a car at 13.
Well, driving a car at 13, sitting on a teddy bear. You always forget that teddy bear. So yeah, think of it that way. How do you upset your mother? How do you upset our mother? And that would be similar to how do you grieve? You know, when you talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, that sounds like a little bit more involved than just upsetting God, so to speak. We're to a point where once you accept Christ, you understand that there's nothing you can do to break that relationship. Yes. But are there things that says that God says, hey, I'm going to discipline you on this because it's for your own good. And I'm God and I know better.
Right.
So are there things that you can do? Sure. There's also in fact, our pastor spoke about it today. There's also a sin in your life that you can actually grieve him more. Mm-hmm. What was the words he used? So basically he's talking about
in Hebrews 6.
Yeah, in Hebrews 6, he's talking about more than grieving the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the word blaspheme. And blaspheme actually is
apostasy.
Yeah, it's an apostasy, which means that someone says, I no longer believe in God. Or I don't believe in God. I'm walking away. Now, those are terms, things that we think we can do. And as real, as believers with the Holy Spirit living in us, we cannot break that relationship. But if someone does not have that and they say, I do not believe in God, I do not believe in Christ, I'm going against everything that he believes in, all right? Everything he did, I don't believe any of that's true. That would become a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is teaching you different if he's living inside you. So to grieve the Holy Spirit is one thing versus blaspheming. Again, it's like upsetting mother versus trying to break relationship with mother. Now, let me point out something about the second one. Trying to break relationship with our mother, you can't do. You know why? Well, one, you look just like her. And two, you've got her DNA. So no matter whether you say, I'm no longer Helen's daughter, or I say, I'm no longer Helen's son, it doesn't matter. My DNA is her DNA. I can say that all I want to, but I can't change it.
Right.
Unless, of course, I take the COVID.
What?
Nothing. So does that explain?
I heard you.
Do you think you can upset the Holy Spirit? You yourself?
Sure.
Have you done things that you think that's happened?
Like sin? Yeah.
Okay.
Who hasn't done that? Any, you know?
Right.
You'd have to be perfect.
Thank you.
Not you're not perfect.
Oh, did she say not perfect?
Let me talk to Lori for a minute and we'll straighten that right out. Yeah. I mean, you would have to be perfect, right?
Yeah, but let's keep in mind that, you know, God's made a decision in our life to, yes, we made that step to accept him. But once we did that, then we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is not a happenstance thing. So we cannot do, and you've heard me say this more, there's nothing we can do to upset him. There's nothing we can do that makes him any less pleased with us than he is right at this moment. We can't, sin is a mark that we may miss, but it's not because we have a nature in us that is running and rebelling against God. Our nature now is running toward him, and it's not rebellious anymore.
So are you saying we cannot grieve the Holy Spirit? I'm a little confused, huh?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, take it like, you know, as me, as a mom for Robbie, you know, there's times that, you know, he could do something or say something that would hurt my heart or, you know, but that would never change the way I feel about him or what he means to me or what I would do for him. That's not going to, nothing would change.
Okay. I got it. Sorry. Yeah, it takes me a minute.
Thinking that, you know, that we cannot upset God, but can we grieve him? Sure. He can look at us and go, you know what? I really don't want you doing that. I love you too much for you to go that direction. And so grief means that he is not against us, but that he's for us.
And we know that because he's given us free will.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Make that choice.
Good stuff, baby.
He's just trying to get in your good graces.
I know. It's been one of those days.
I don't know if I need
folks. Y'all want my next question? It's not the Holy Spirit question or anything. Do you have anything else on the Holy Spirit?
We have a lot of things on the Holy Spirit, but we can move on.
Lori?
No, I'm good.
This is a Twitter thing. I know you love Twitter.
Oh, gotta go.
Someone said... I don't know their name.
Okay, go ahead.
Be warned, your salvation is not in Christ. You are not a sheep, and Jesus is not your shepherd. However, your salvation is in Christ, finished work on your behalf. What is that? What are they talking about?
We have no idea.
Okay.
Those words don't even make any sense.
I mean, we are sheep, and he is our shepherd. I don't know what they're
saying.
Sounds
like somebody doesn't know anything about scripture.
If you would quit reading Twitter.
Yes, I think I would just get off Twitter. That would not be a place I would go for biblical information.
Actually, there are a lot of Christians who quote scripture verbatim and are Christians, believe it or not. There are a lot of them.
Oh, on Twitter?
But yeah, every now and then I'll see something and I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what else do y'all want to talk about?
I don't know. We talk about enough.
Well, I'm just thinking, he is our good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole Psalm 23, talking about, you know, and he is our good shepherd. So I don't know. I don't understand that at all.
You know, when he says to separate the sheep from the goat? Mm-hmm. I want to do a study on that.
Like, do it.
What with y'all or with somebody? What are a goat's type personality type, or what does a goat do versus a sheep? Why did he use those comparisons?
Well, because
or if you know right now, just spit it out.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that. It's that listen to Keith Green's song though about
what
that.
Is it?
Really good song.
What is it?
But it's I mean, it kind of answers itself, doesn't it? Sheep and goats. Because he used that analogy because it made sense to the people he was talking to. You know, we look at things that Jesus said and some of the things that the apostles, disciples said. it was basically talking to an audience that would understand what he's saying. So they understood when you came to sheep and goats, one was more valuable than the other. So you took one to one place, you took the other to the other place, and certain things happened with them that we won't get into. And that's what he's talking about.
What is the Keith Green song?
And now I have to start singing.
I'll tell you a joke while you're thinking.
You will? Go ahead.
What is a chicken crossing the road?
What is a chicken crossing the road?
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Poetry in motion.
Poultry in motion? She said poetry.
Poultry.
When you're from Georgia, that's poultry.
I'm pretty sure this we've hit a new low.
Oh, admit it. You like it.
Get all Southern slang.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the Keith Green song?
I can't remember. Look up Keith Green. Just listen to all of them because they're all good. If you're looking for a good music that's, and I think it actually may be called Sheep and Goats.
Yeah, and you were talking about songs the other day and how they're so geared not to praise Jesus. It's about I. Well, I have really noticed that lately.
Yeah, and, you know, there's such a huge difference when you read scripture about those that are around the throne who are worshiping to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the worship songs that we sing are really about God, and he already knows his attributes. I'm not against him. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. It's just that sometimes it's, you know, it gets tiring about hearing what great things he's done for us and how great we are because he's great. Whereas, you know, it's, I think our worship songs should be directed to him as if he is actually a person, because he is. He is alive and he is well and he is living in us and he is living through us. And when there's a bunch of us get together and we want to sing songs to him, we end up singing songs about him, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it just turns into a concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we lose the worship aspect of it.
And it's called The Sheep and the Goats.
I am so good.
That's the name.
That is the name of the song. How can you not remember that?
Yeah. I said The Sheep and the Goats, I think is what it's called. And he talks very... he takes scripture and basically just made it into a song. See, he was such a great writer.
And what is his name? What is his name?
Keith Green.
His name's Keith Green.
What is his name? What his name? I can't even talk.
He did another one called Grace by Which I Stand.
Well, I'm going to have to look him up.
Yeah, you need to. His stuff is just so good. He died many, many, many years ago in the 80s.
He died of a car accident?
I think it was a plane crash.
Plane crash.
Or a car accident. Maybe a car ran into a plane on the...
I'm reading these lyrics, and it's pretty funny. So I kind of flicked today. So he's talking about the goats on the left. Sheep are on the right, goats are on the left. Bumonch. So yeah, look up the lyrics.
Okay. Well, do y'all have anything else?
No, is there any other questions about, we want to talk about baptism anymore? Because I want to make sure that, you know, clarification, and I want to say this without offending anyone, which is going to pretty much offend everybody. The book of Hebrews, and I think it's at the beginning of chapter 6, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, which is, I was about to say Paul, but it's not, or it could be, who knows, could be Apollos, could be Timothy, who knows, anyway, could be Luke, shut up, okay, so... The writer of Hebrews actually calls baptism one of the elemental things that we need to move beyond, because it's a discussion point for people that causes division.
Mm-hmm. It's like the rapture.
Yeah, it's like the rapture. He doesn't use that as an example in Hebrews because, well, they didn't really believe in the rapture like we do. But when he talks about the elemental things, he says, and I'm not quoting exactly, this is Robert's version of it, you need to move beyond this because I'm still giving you milk and you need to be eating meat. You need to quit listening to me and start teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't made that step. She won't let me use my hand.
Right.
I think it's going to be on the
wet. Oh, Lori, I'm so glad to have you on. Are you going to come back?
Yes, she is.
Possibly.
I'm her Holy Spirit speaking for her.
I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead.
Well, maybe you will then.
Yes, maybe I will. Okay.
All right, if Robert's not getting on your nerves.
Well, y'all can do one without me.
We could, but she probably won't.
Yes, she will.
We did one. It was a great one. If y'all hadn't heard Lori's podcast on, I'll let you share about losing a baby.
Yeah, just losing, having a miscarriage and the difficulties that provided. But you know, come to the fact of, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God gave me one great one, and so I'm okay with that.
Zoe in heaven, right?
That's right. She's there waiting on us.
That's right. Well, I want to say a prayer for everybody, and a prayer of salvation. And, you know, like I always say, there's no magic words or anything. It's a belief of the heart. So if you guys will bow your heads with me, we'll pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this time with my brother and sister-in-law, Lord. And it's so precious to learn from them. And I just thank you for that. And I hope everybody who's listening learns as well. And we hope to continue the podcast and that you be with us. And Lord, I just pray that we think about everything around us, or the objects that we own, our cars, our homes, everything that is of value to us, you know, right now, and know that that stuff is going to disappear and it should mean nothing to us, that you are the most important thing, that this life is just a vapor, Lord. And I just want to ask people to accept you into their heart. And if you want to do that and you feel God tugging at your heart, I just ask you to pray these words. And again, no magic words, just a belief in your heart. You say, Dear Lord, I believe in you. I give you my sins, Lord. I repent from my sins. I want to turn the other way, Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that my sins hung up there with you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And I know that you were buried and rose on the third day, Lord, and sit at the right hand of the Father, and you're very much alive and well, and that your words in the Bible are alive and well, Lord. And I invite you and the Holy Spirit to come alive in me, that I can tell the difference, Lord, and that you would help me grow and help me learn and send me a mentor or teachers that I can learn from. And I just praise you and thank you for turning my life around. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say, if out there, if you prayed that prayer today, or you prayed it at any point in time through this podcast or anywhere else, go tell somebody. Doesn't matter who it is, somebody you love more particular, somebody maybe that you know that knows Christ already. But when you pray that prayer, go tell somebody. It is important that you let him start working through you as quickly as possible. Don't hide it. Baptism is an important thing, but if you just accepted Christ, you've just been baptized by the Holy Spirit living inside you, you've been redeemed. But give that outward sign, which is about the water that we've been talking about.
And if you had a suggestion for the first Bible chapter they should read, I've heard Ephesians. Is that a...
No, if you're new to Christ, I always suggest John, and just read the whole book of John.
Okay.
And then right behind that, the book of Romans. Take your time in Romans. Take your time in John, too. John is really about Jesus telling you through his apostle John how much he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Romans actually takes you on a road trip. And this is how to be a believer. This is what it takes to do that. And it's not about physical things that you do. It's about believing Christ in you and through you. And that's what, so that I go that direction. And of course, my favorite book in the Bible is Galatians. So I would always say that is third, but not everybody agrees with that. So.
Yeah, I'm doing a study on Galatians right now by Beth Moore. So,
okay. Well, thanks, guys.
No,
thanks,
thank
Missy.
I love you.
Love you.
See you later.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it. Are you interested in listening to more episodes? Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, and Spotify. Do you have a question you'd like us to chat about? Email us at swduthink@gmail.com. We have new episodes every Monday. See you next time.